Chapter 22. Gemmell emerged from its jump 650,000 kilometres above Machusco, where the gas giant's gravity anchored it in a slightly elliptical orbit. Tranquility, in its lower circular orbit, was trailing by 200,000 kilometres. Oliver Thwellin, the colonist carrier's captain, identified his starship to the habitat personality and requested approach and docking permission. "Do you require assistance?" Tranquility asked.
"No, we're fully functional."
"I don't get many colonist carrier vessels visiting. I thought you might have been making an emergency maintenance call."
"No, this is flight business."
"Does your entire passenger complement wish to apply for residency?"
"Quite the opposite. The zero-tau pods are all empty. We've come to hire some military specialists who live here."
"I see. Docking and approach request granted. Please datavise your projected vector to spaceport flight control." Terence Smith datavised a sensor access request into the starship flight computer and watched the massive Bitech habitat growing larger as they accelerated towards rendezvous in a complex manoeuvre at two-thirds of a G. He opened a channel to the habitat's communication net and asked for a list of starships currently docked. Names and classifications flowed through his mind. A collation program sorted through them, indicating possibles and probables. "I didn't realize this was such a large port," he said to Oliver Thwellin.
"It has to be," the captain replied. "There are at least 5 major family-owned civil carrier fleets based here purely because of the tax situation, and most of the other line companies have offices in the habitat. Then you've got to consider the residents. They import one hell of a lot. Everything you need to live the good life, from food to clothes to pretentious art. You don't think they'll eat the synthesized pulp the starscrapers grow, do you?"
"No, I suppose not. A lot of ships pick up contracts for them, bringing stuff in from all over the Confederation. And of course Tranquility is the Confederation's principal base for Black Hawk mating flights. Now Valisk is falling from favor with the captains. The eggs just take down in the big inner ring. It all adds together. The Lords of Ruin have built it into one of the most important commercial centers in this sector."
Terence looked across the bridge. 7 acceleration couches were arranged in a petal pattern on its composite decking, and only one of them was empty. The compartment had an industrial look, with cables and ducts fixed to the walls, rather than being tucked neatly out of sight behind composite panels. But then that was a uniform characteristic throughout the Gemmell and her sister ships, which shuttled between Earth and Stage 1 colony worlds. They were bulk carriers whose cargo happened to be people, and the line companies didn't waste money on cosmetic finishes. Captain Thwellin was lying inertly on his acceleration couch, surrounded by a horseshoe of bulky consoles. A well-built 68-year-old Oriental with skin as smooth as any adolescent. His eyes were shut as he handled the datavise from the flight computer.
"Have you been here before?" Terence asked.
"I stopped over 2 days, that was 35 years ago, when I was a junior officer in a different company. Don't suppose it's changed much? Plutocrats put a lot of stock in stability."
"I'd like you to talk to the other captains for me, the independent trader starships we want to hire. I haven't exactly done this kind of work before."
Oliver Thwellin snorted loudly.
"You let people know what kind of flight you're putting together, then start flashing that overloaded Jovian bank credit disc around, and you'll be beating them off with a stick."
"What about the mercenaries and general troops?"
"The captains will put you in touch."
"Hell, a combat boosted will pay the captains for an introduction. You want my advice, delegate? Find yourself 10 or 20 officer types with some solid experience and let them recruit troops for you. Don't try and do it all yourself. We haven't got time, for a start. Rexu gave us a pretty tight schedule."
"Thanks."
"You're paying, remember?"
"Yeah."
It had taken 20,000 fuser dollars just to get Oliver Thwellin to agree to take the Gemmell to Tranquility.
"Not part of my LDC contract," the captain had said stubbornly. Money was easier than datavising legal requirements at him. Terence suspected it was going to cost a lot more to take the Gemmell back to La Londe.
"You sound like you know what you're talking about," he said, mildly intrigued.
"I've flown a lot of different missions in my time," the old captain said indifferently.
"So where do I meet these starship captains?"
Oliver Thwellin accessed a 35-year-old file in his neural nonics.
"We'll start at Harkey's Bar." 15 hours later, Terence Smith had to admit that Oliver Thwellen had been perfectly correct. He didn't need to make any effort. The people he wanted came to him. Like iron to a magnet, he thought, or flies to shit. He was sitting in a war booth, feeling like an old-style czar holding court, receiving petitions from eager subjects.